Good afternoon. The Lord's doing some interesting things, and we talk about this. We've said that once you start the inertia of breakthrough, it just kind of continues, unless you get to a place and you like it there so much, you don't want to go anywhere further. Like ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, which what you want to move into is water to swim in. And so I believe that, we're breaking through into something. And I sense it in my heart. Again, I said before, it's like I have butterflies about it. I was talking to TC earlier, and she reminded me of a dream that I had months ago about Craig and TC moving to Australia. That's pretty far, and like 15 hours ahead of us. And she was talking about a little bit about she felt that was God, about there being movement in terms of Craig's situation for them, but more than that, there's just movement. Like big movement, large movement thing. And so what was cool is prophetically is that on my desk, I had a letter that came to me yesterday from a man named Russell something from Australia. And he had been listening to all this stuff, and God was setting him free. And he was understanding what it meant to be in Christ. And he said this to me. He said, he wrote it to Karen. He said, maybe there would be an opportunity for Bishop Chuck to have a conversation with me and have a word for me. And he said, I know that he's busy and there's this time issue, but maybe the Lord would convince him that this would be the most important conversation he would ever have. It's so cool because he got it. He'd heard us talk about that. So this is the most important service I've ever done. You're the most important group that's ever been in front of me. Because that's the way Jesus sees things. And when you understand that kind of stuff, it changes your understanding. It changes your anticipation about life every single day. Back and read that one verse. So again, I'm just yakking about things that the Lord speaking to me and clarifying to me in these scriptures. We talked about some of this yesterday, but I kind of give you a little sense of what's going on here in this chapter. It's pretty profound. Jesus makes it really clear that we're his sheep, but he's a good shepherd. That is so powerful. It seems so simple, but he's a good shepherd. There's a verse in, speaking of hirelings, in verse 14. Well, verse 13, he says, he flees the hireling before the wolf because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. And that word concern there is the same word that's used in, say, 1 Peter 7. He says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Doesn't just mean that he cares about you, which he does, but he also cares for you. And so when he says the hireling doesn't do that, the obvious things he's saying is that our good shepherd cares for us. He is concerned for us. He cares for us in his emotions. Think about that. If he loves me as much as he loves the Father, he cares for you and me as much as he cares for the Father. The Father cares for you as much as he does for Jesus. But he also takes care of us. He's a good shepherd. There's a verse in Isaiah 40, verse 11. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. That's the heart of our God. There are several things that he says here. In verse 27, the Bracken read, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, we talked about this yesterday, mentioned this from this chapter. But look again. Let's see where I'm looking for. Verse 14 and 15, what he says. He says, and I know them. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Now remember, again, we mentioned this yesterday, this is the Greek word for to know you in a face-to-face, intimate, experiential union kind of relationship. Oneness thing. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now think about that. In the same way that Jesus intimately knows and experiences, the word means to experience, the Father, and the Father intermingling with him, experiences and knows him, Jesus said, he knows us in that same way, and we know him in that same way. That's stunning to me. He sort of describes his relationship with the Father in verse 38. He says, but I do them, the works, though you do not believe me, because of the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. That's the kind of knowing. So again, that's enough to make you, that'll last you a lifetime. That one statement that he knows you and you know him, even as in the same way that he knows the Father and the Father knows him. As the Father's in him and he's in the Father, you're in Christ and Christ is in you. There is this intertwined infusion, this thing that's face-to-face, but more than face-to-face. Stunning. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own. The other thing he says in this verse, he says, and they follow me. Listen to verses 3 and 4. Those are cool verses. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him and know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow. They will flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. It's so sad that so many people who are Christians, again, feel like Jesus is almost a stranger to them when we're in union with him. But I love the fact he says that we follow him. He leads us. As a good shepherd, we can trust his leadership. As a matter of fact, he says, not only do I know them, he says, I know each one. I speak to each one by name. That's cool. Our good shepherd is God. Jesus is God. And he knows you so intimately. There's this intermingling in your who you are with him and who he is in you. He speaks to you and leads you by name. I don't know what's going on in your life, but the enemy's not in control. You have a good shepherd and you can trust his leadership. And no matter what it might look like, no matter what it might feel like, you can trust his leadership. The other thing he says in that verse, he says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, he really says this over and over again. We don't hear the voice of a stranger, we hear his voice. He knows us, we're in union with him. He leads us, he's a good shepherd, and he speaks to us. His sheep hear his voice. That's one of the things that God is really trying to teach us, that in this union with Christ, we really can hear the voice of the good shepherd in us. This guy from Australia who wrote that letter to me, he heard the voice of the shepherd. He was able to regurgitate, and maybe the Lord will convince him that this will be the most important conversation he'll ever have. I mean, one, how do I not call him? I've already tried to call him. We'll get together, I think, Thursday night now. But that's how the Lord speaks. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about, they were under a lot of condemnation about something, just a lot of self-rejection, and they couldn't get any freedom, but they've been really getting the message, really breaking through. And I heard the Lord say, Mark, I don't listen to the voice of the devil. And he went, wow. And he understood what Jesus was saying. Jesus doesn't do condemnation. There's no condemnation in Christ because he doesn't listen to the voice of the enemy. And therefore, I don't listen to the voice of the enemy because we're one. You see that? I abide in him. And when he says things like that, he's saying, he's inviting me to say, to go, yes, no, we don't listen to the voice of the enemy. That's the sheep hearing his voice. And we're having, God's teaching us, breaking through into our hearing, trusting in his leadership, but hearing his voice. And all of this, in this care of this one, this good shepherd, all of this is result is, all the result is that you might have life and have it more abundantly. They got mad at Jesus in this chapter because Jesus referred to himself, they thought, because he talked about his Father, that he was equal with God.
Verse 33, the Jews answered, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Now he lived as a man, though God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Has it not been written in your law that I said you are gods, little g?" And if he called them gods, little g, to whom the word of God came, and he goes on and speaks. Now listen to that. I've heard people teach that word before and they would go like, "You're God," which is heretical. But Jesus said, "You're going to know life and life more abundantly, so much so because of a union with me. It's as if you were a little g, gods." What does that mean? That's a quote from Psalm 82:6, that you carry by nature of who you are an authority, a sheep with authority because of your union with the good shepherd. That he who comes from above is above all. He who comes to the earth speaks to the earth, but he who comes from heaven is above all. And you have been born from above. And so we get to walk in that. Amen? So I didn't confuse you about the little gods thing, right? That's what it says. And we were created to name all the creatures, to have dominion over the earth. And that's a reality. But as sheep who are in union with the Good Shepherd. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.